Thanks, Leslie. And we have Deputy Mayor here, Farley, that's standing in for Mr. Watson today. Three council members present. And we have our first item, which is just what we were chatting about, right?
Their approval of minutes.
What's that?
Their approval of minutes.
Oh, yeah, they're approved. Yeah. Department reports. Is that the parking thing?
Sure, yes. Why don't we go ahead and hit on that? We'll start off with parking stuff, and then that way, sir, you don't need that. Stay for the rest of the meeting if you don't have. So I just wanted to share with the committee some comments I've been receiving on one area in particular where we instituted some parking prohibitions. Because this was a council action, and I've been getting a lot of comments about we need to look at this and perhaps change things, I wanted to bring those comments to you and see if there was something that you as the committee would like to recommend moves forward for council discussion or potential revisions to code. This has to do on the map that I gave you. You'd be looking at the area. You can see where the yellow balloon kind of points to Allen York Park. We're going to be looking at 76th Street Port East, which is just to the east of there. It comes off of West Taps. Currently, 76th Street Port East is in code is quantified as a no parking street all the way through to the end of the cul-de-sac. And then it's a little hard to see, and I apologize, I should have blown this up a little bit more, but 202nd and 77th are both listed there or shown there as permit parking. So
is it currently prohibited to park there?
It is. The code, what
did we do that recently?
Yeah, so that was part of the changes that were made back in.
Did we reach out to any of the, I felt like an idiot when I got an email on this. I'm like, I should have actually gone and maybe talked to people before I did.
So here's some of the issues where that's concerned. And I have as well talked to some of the residents and offered my apologies for the way some of this had moved forward. But at the time when we considered these areas and then they were voted on, we were coming just off of the near riot that we had at Allen York Park, and the decision that had been discussed was that there was a need to do something here as quick as possible. There was a lot of concern about the behavior that we were seeing there, the way we were seeing people handle themselves at the park, the number of people showing up at the park. And so a whole suite of changes regarding parking and park use went through at the same time. So to answer your question specifically, no, we didn't do such a good job reaching out to people and talking about them in advance. We, from public services department perspective, we certainly could have done a better job there. And lesson learned, we will make sure that next time. But this was one of those changes that was proposed. The thinking behind this is that, and the concern is that while I would acknowledge that I have had several comments come from this area, that there has not been an issue with parking, people encroaching on those streets up till now. With the institution of paid parking before too long, there is concern that there will be people who want to attend the park who don't want to pay for parking. And so you will see them move further out in the surrounding neighborhoods. And so our desire there is to help try to control that so that folks that do live in that area aren't impacted by that. Do we know that's going to happen with any certainty? Well, no, because we haven't gotten there yet. But it certainly is a fear. And so that was behind some of the decisions behind where we ended up bringing forward these prohibited parking and permit parking areas. I have had, going back to this particular area, I have had a couple of great conversations with residents in that area who have some concerns, and they brought up some good points. One of those is that on 76th Street Port East, perhaps we could consider shortening that no parking area. So instead of going from West Taps all the way out to the cul-de-sac, it would be from West Taps to 202nd. And then it would be permit parking beyond that.
That's what I was thinking there, right? Because then there's not that many homeowners.
It does. It certainly gives them the ability with the city permits that we issue for residential parking zones, the ability to still park on the street and do whatever they would normally like to.
And this is now permit parking. That same resolution is just permit parking, right?
This is no parking. Red is no parking. And then this is yellow is permit parking. Yeah. So this, what I'm talking about would change this area to permit park to be yellow.
What? Okay.
That's kind of what I thought was going to happen to begin with. I didn't know, because I knew that we obviously wanted to create a, you know, a no parking for the bus stop zone.
Where?
Bus stop. So there's a bus stop on Seventh Street. It's right, so I think.
Oh,
today, that is the
school bus stop. School bus stop, yeah.
Public schools.
It's not quite a beginning road.
Yeah.
So I know for some of the you know, I for public safety, for example, there's a little bit more back and forth with folks who come in. I don't know if, you know, if the desire to take comment is usually during public comment at council meetings. I did mention to some of the folks that I talked with over in this Ridge West, Ridge.
The Ridge.
I always get confused with
this. I do too.
Yeah. I did extend an invitation to them to come in and hear our conversation today, which is why your last name again, sir?
Blazy,
which is why Mr. Blazy's here today. And we were expecting that their HOA president.
Yeah, she is on our way. She was just delayed in traffic.
So staff has done their presentation there with Mr. Blazy, right? For the record, right?
Yep.
What's your address?
7610 202nd.
Okay, thank you.
I'm the third house after the right turn.
Mm-hmm. And that, and your concern is that you can't park there?
My concern is that, as far as definitely my neighbors on the cul-de-sac, they will lose all of their street parking.
Okay.
Another concern I have is it's really a little one. I think that it can be handled with the engineer later. I think my front yard is the only one in front of it. It can be moved across the street, in my opinion.
Sure.
Just for visibility. Another issue that I have with the permits is that if I read everything correctly, we would only be issued one street parking permit per household.
My understanding is it's currently the city clerk's office and issues one pass for each vehicle that belongs to that resident.
Right, and then one visitor's pass.
And one visitor's
pass. So the problem is I'm also on a committee for several charities, and I hold meetings at my house. And that is an additional 4 to 5 cars for each of those meetings. How am I, as a resident, going to not have automatic tickets for my charity board meetings? Because a lot of them are ADA, so they're mobility challenged.
Yep.
So they've always just parked right across the street, and it's always been that an issue.
Yep.
And now they're going to have to park a neighbor, and I'm going to have to shuttle them.
So I think you bring up a good point here, which highlights something that's missing from our permit program. And so I don't have a solution for you right now, but definitely willing to engage with you outside of this meeting.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah. A solution.
I know a lot of my neighbors are families, and they tend to have large family gatherings.
Yeah.
And we also use that cul-de-sac area as a parking for larger parties.
Yeah.
For overflow. So as a neighborhood, every neighbor knows them.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great point. And obviously, we wouldn't want to be in the situation where we're issuing tickets for people who aren't coming to visit a friend at their house.
I'll be honest, my first reaction when I got the letter in the mail was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And this looked like a cash grab by the city.
Yeah.
Knowing that now I'm hearing that you're planning on putting in paid parking up the at Allen York, I can understand how you would be concerned about the overflow and the neighbors, because I come from, my hometown is Wichita, Kansas.
Ah.
So 300,000 people. I know about neighbors who are getting taken up by like Fourth of July parties, sure, festivals, and stuff like that. So I understand where that thought was coming from. I would have appreciated talking to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we could have expressed this stuff. When I looked at the drawings from the construction crew, they were stamped in May. And I'm like, this is 3 months after these stamps. Why wasn't anybody talked to?
Yeah.
That was a failure. Right? I'll admit that. When I got your email, I was like, oh, well, that was the dumbest thing I've done in a while, right?
No, I understand what we were coming to. We were coming into summer, and I actually have known some people that have gotten into fights out there, so I know that it can get out of hand, and I know crowd control. I was a Marine for 13 years. I've worked security and hospitality comp, so I know all about crowd control. So I understand those issues. It was just more like it came out of left field.
Yeah.
So I immediately went on defensive. And I was getting woken up by a water drilling truck in my front yard. I was like,
they were hydro excavating.
What's going on?
Yeah. So certainly, you and I can talk outside this room about potential solutions for a permit and then for the sign placement as well.
I would fully support the city if you guys chose to. And speaking of Amanda, she's right here.
Hi, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm late. First day of school.
Yeah.
Owl, frazzled.
I think the entire neighborhood would be supportive if we were to change that restricted parking to that corner.
Yeah.
So it didn't deny my neighbors the ability to park in front of their house.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, obviously it's council that takes the final action, but I'm certainly willing to work on. Ultimately, if the code is to be changed, the council needs to provide that final approval. But I'm happy to draft code changes that would make that change right there so that that can be done. And then, like I said, we can work outside of this meeting on the permit program and the sign placement.
Right.
And Amanda, I'm Ryan.
Oh, Johnson. Hi. Good to meet you.
Happy to come out there and meet with you all and discuss that a little bit further. The point of today's meeting is I did want you to have an opportunity to hear that, you know, that we were getting some feedback like that and at least open it up for further discussion at another date. If you all believe there are other changes that need to be made, I just thought we might as well be trying to go down this path all at one time and considering this stuff instead of just getting comments that dribble in kind of one at a time over a period of 6 months. Just to give you a status update, the city has Mr. Blasey was mentioning city clerk's office did send out letters to all the folks that live in these areas to let them know that permits would be required and so on. Public Works has the signs, has installed the anchors for those signs. I asked them to not put the signs up until after this meeting today, just in case there was anything big that came out of this that I'd need to be aware of. From a social media perspective, we've been working on some stuff with paid parking. Don't know that we put anything out additionally specific addressing these parking changes on social media yet, but certainly that would be something that we would want to go ahead and start rolling out to let people know. We are fortunately past the peak season. I would anticipate that signs would go up, but we would not begin considering enforcement until there's been time to properly have some of these conversations, get the signs up, get people used to them. Honestly, I don't anticipate that there's going to be any huge problems with parking at all until we start to back to the park then.
With the new ball field across the way, when that parking lot gets full, they do naturally just park because it's such a nice walk across that crosswalk there. So I did see that this weekend. I think there was a biking event that might naturally, but you're right, on the hot days, that won't happen again.
Yeah.
One of the reasons they've done this is they're actually paid parking.
How much feedback have you gotten from other areas as well?
So I definitely had some good interaction with folks from the Ridge.
Yes.
And then staff has received some comments from residents who live on 193rd Avenue East off Bonnie Lake Boulevard on the section south of 75th Street East. That has been less than positive, with somebody threatening to throw a rock through one of the windshields of our vehicles. And it's not been pleasant in that area. I think that the most common comment that we've heard so far is, hey, up till this point, we haven't had a problem with parking. And I understand that. But again, the concern is that once paved parking rolls out, we could see a greater impact to these surrounding roads because people will not want to pay.
From our community perspective, we're grateful for the help because the parking has been an issue as far as like litter. I mean, there's beer cans in my yard. And so people aren't, I mean, on a hot day, they literally line both sides of 76 and front of our house, which and they block driveways, they block mailboxes. So from our community, we're grateful. We were just hoping for flexibility in allowing the residents to park where there's homes instead of having it. And then I did walk the neighborhood to see the placement of the signs, and Sean's is the only yard that has the sign. So what we were hoping is it could be others where there's no homes.
So, the easy solution, yeah. what you had mentioned earlier about both ways, an easy solution to that, like I have in other cities, I've seen permanent parking and it just says both sides with an arrow. And we have one right by our mailbox, which is directly across from Anna's house. If you went to like the property edge, be me in the corner, I'm one house off the corner, but have those two signs be the both sides, my objections would go.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly happy to look into that.
The other thing too, speaking of the crosswalk, I'm not sure if you brought this up yet.
The light?
Yes.
That you were requesting?
Yeah, now that the crosswalk leads to the park, I was hoping that we could get one of the flashing crosswalk lights, because the cars are not stopping, and the speed's an issue. We've been in contact with the police department, who's trying their best to monitor and limited resources, but it's to the point where children are almost getting hit every time they're crossing. It's a bus stop there as well, so in the city installed a light there for us a few years back, which helps with the lighting. But for the high school and the middle school kids, they get to that bus stop at 6:40 in the morning. It's really dark. And I leave for work at that time, heading down to the high school. And cars do not stop. Like, some mornings I have to pull out and just block people to let the poor kids cross.
I mean, people driving up from Eleanor Park headed for Church Lake Road, that long straightaway. I sit on my balcony upstairs at night, and like, all I hear is engines revving. They think it's a great sprint spot.
The other day we were walking home from the park and there was a younger family in our neighborhood in front of us, and they had their two kids in a wagon and they were pulling the wagon. Cars on one side were stopped. The other car was, of course, texting, coming around that corner. Like John said, they had to run out of the way of the car to not have their kids get hit. They were in the middle of the crosswalk and that happened. So those are the things. And I know it won't be a perfect system, but I'm hoping that maybe just that visual could help.
Yeah, it's something, again, I said a few times, I apologize if it sounds like a typical response. Happy to look into it. There's a couple different solutions available for something like that. It's not a budgeted expense, but certainly it's something that we consider. And then per direction from the approval from the council, we could potentially move forward with that. With that as well. So that certainly sounds like there's a need, so happy to look into it. That was all I had on the parking. You have my contact information.
Yes.
Question.
Yeah.
So I'm a little confused because so the zone parking is going to be a pain, right? When you have guests, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the concerns.
We have a big gathering. I think that's the only. Versus what do we do if we have Christmas Eve get together?
How is that enforced?
Yeah.
So as far as like giving tickets out,
yeah.
Currently the police department handles our parking enforcement. And so it would be up to the police department to enforce
it. It's not gonna be a problem if you don't report what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right?
And one of the concerns I had was because I haven't had a chance to fully read all of the related the ordinances and stuff that were I'm still reading everything, so I understood that. I want to get a great big picture. Was it thought that these would be like dusk till dawn enforcements? Like the park, because the park is, the hours of the park are dusk till dawn. If it's an evening thing in the off-season, nobody's going to park in those things.
Councilman, or Deputy Mayor happens to be a police officer. There's a lot of that.
I used to work for Bonnie Lake as well, so I can tell you that typically all the parking stuff is complaint-based. So it's not something the guys are going out looking for. They have other things they're looking for, and they're driving down dead end roads and writing tickets.
Right.
But if there are complaints, obviously they would go and enforce that.
Okay, so.
But that's, I also don't want to speak out of turn, as we have a new police chief coming in. I have no idea what that could look like and whatnot. But I would say typically it's always been, I think there's a way to, and maybe it's a communication issue of, hey, I'm having a party. I'm going to have X number of people over. Okay, we can give you X number of visitor passes for that particular day or something. I don't know what that would look like. Yeah,
I mean,
it seems like that would be.
If it's as simple as photocopying my visitor's pass, that's an easy thing.
Yeah,
actually, attending party this day on the bottom of the page.
Yeah, yeah, see or something on it or something. I'm sure there's a way. Yeah, right, so to do that.
You can
even if we have like a template, like I'm sure our Asia. Yeah, so we have like a template.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a solution.
Yeah, I'm sure that's reasonable.
It's just a concern that myself and some of the neighbors have. There's a lot of cars that was parked on that street because it's a lot of large families.
Yeah, my wife and I were like, how would we handle it? Oh, well, we would park, we'd put our cars on the street, but then there couldn't be more than two cars. And then they were like, well, we could bug the neighbors. We're like, well, that's not going to work. And we were just like, yeah, we should just scan it, right? And then, unless there's a real problem, unless you're saying you want it. So I was a proponent to can it until you showed up and said, no, no, we really appreciate the help.
Yeah.
But it's both sides of the same coin.
There is no problem. But it's like we recognize there's going to be a need.
Now that I know my opinion has changed a little bit coming in, knowing that the paid parking is coming in, I can see how that buffer zone is beneficial to my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I can see the positives.
Yeah.
Without knowing that you guys were switching to paid parking on your part, there was like, why are we doing this? I was missing the cause.
And maybe that needs to be the bigger issue of just a campaign to let everyone know that, but hey, both there's a paid parking coming to the park, and hey, we are trying to think ahead, take care of the neighborhoods.
Next to the knowing the why, which I now know, my other concern was, like I said, I'm involved with charities, and I have handicapped people that are part of these boards, and I just want to be able to make sure they can get in my house while getting a ticket.
Yeah, totally. Be really nice if the HOA can help.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you guys send me, because I'm on the send me something, and we'll pass.
Cool.
So that's what I have for now. I've got a couple items there on my list. Please reach out to me, and we can set a date. I can grab the city engineer. We're happy to come out, take a look around.
Absolutely.
I think he said he's.
I thought he was going through tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I'll need to double check that. But if you go ahead and shoot me an email as soon as he comes back in,
okay.
I'll get some.
The city doesn't.
The
towing company makes lots of money. And they don't tow without the police officer.
Yeah, somebody has to direct them to do that, especially on a city street. So it has to be a police officer.
Yeah.
So, and it's more than likely going to be. Right? So.
Yeah.
And if it's not, you're directly going to be able to talk to the new police chief and say, hey, what are you guys doing over here? And that's probably a good conversation. When's your HOA meeting?
Our next one is.
Yeah, and you have somebody from the city come out and
talk to you. They're always happy. There's always been some. So you guys that's the only way we get to communicate with
them. The value of an election year. I'm interested in that's humor. It was intended as humor.
It's always. You live in a smaller city where you have a lot of. My number's on the website, Terry's number's on the website. You know, if you call me, you're going to get my actual, you're going to probably get my
October 5th. And we normally do a Zoom.
Oh, that's even better.
In person only.
And we have your contact
Already. Yeah, that'd be great. Actually,
we have pretty good.
No, our neighborhood is pretty small. We have 48 homes in it. So usually, which is the best. But the annual meeting happens once a year, and that's what this October meeting. So we do get a few homes.
I think we get six at
We gotta have a certain amount to like quorum. Right.
I tried raising the dues one year to get a quorum. Yeah, that's a bad idea. You will get a quorum.
Yeah.
But a grumpy.
You'll have a pitchfork.
And I'm finding that I have more time to get involved in things.
Yeah.
Or situations change. But I'm trying to get out of an industry that has me work until 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. Get more active.
Thanks. There you go.
Excellent. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming down.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Council Members.
You're welcome. And a discussion for resolution 3177 is our next item, professional services agreement or more on-call stuff, right? Don't we have a little one?
Correct. So resolution 3177 is seeking your authorization to allow the mayor to sign an amendment with Parametrics to amend our current on-call agreement for $8,000 to provide inspection services. Basically, it'd be approving an amendment of $12,800 for additional inspection services. Our staff inspector is going to be going on vacation, so we need this coverage to help us with our current projects that are going on throughout the city, development-related projects. And so, yeah, that's exactly what this is seeking. Approval of this authorization to allow the mayor to sign this amendment.
And I assume that the $2,000 that's left over will cover this next week while before we get the city council. That's why it's on the workshop.
So, correct. So, exactly. We're at a point here where I think the actual vacation of our staff inspector begins on 8th. And so we won't have another opportunity for council to see this before he leaves, and we need that support immediately when he leaves. Matter of fact, he's going to be getting together with the consultant prior to him leaving so that he can get him acquainted with the different projects and walk him through things. So, correct. We need this authorization as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm. Where does the money come from?
So, great question. So currently, this is coming from our other professional services line item in our public services center budget. $2,000 was approved as part of the 23-24 biennial budget for the 23 amount for that line item. The $8,000 that was approved to spend from that budget in April of this year expended that $2,000 that was already approved. So between that and the 12-8, there's going to be a budget amendment necessary to cover those additional funds. I've talked with Sherry. She is aware of that and is prepared to include that in the budget amendment that will be moving forward in October.
So we're going to be $20,000 behind.
$20,000 in total. Correct. And that's in the budget information section. That's just what that's showing there. The current balance in that line item is $6,891. This additional $20,000, should you give the authorization for the mayor to approve, would take us to a total negative balance of $19,691. So that would be the amount we'd be pursuing in the budget on that line item.
I don't know, right? I mean, somebody listening to this are like, we're spending $12,000, right? We have to go for the end. How long's the duration of this contract?
It would be approximately 2 weeks. It was the 8th.
Well, your do nothing option is to piss off a bunch of people trying to improve the city.
Right, I get that. I'm thinking through, I thought a lot about this. I was like, it makes sense to do, but what's, Okay.
Have we done this before?
We do all that.
This is what we do all
this is what we've done previously, yeah, unfortunately.
We always do it. It's a weird thing that we even did talk about it, like a resource issue at the staff level.
Right.
It's kind of like they got a staffing issue over here they got to deal with, money.
Right, sure.
Where I can, I will attempt to take someone from our public works staff to help provide some of that coverage, but that's pretty tough to do. I mean, obviously, they have a full plate of stuff to get done. I will say that originally this scope included a week's worth of night work, but I did manage to pull somebody from the water utility to provide that nighttime coverage for us. But that did set us back in other areas. And for this duration, being that it's a little bit longer, we would definitely prefer to go this route and use a consultant and let the maintenance worker staff get on with the other stuff they needed to get done.
We already have some people kind of doing that type of inspection or whatever they're familiar with.
The consultant on the consultant side?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct.
Right.
I don't have one.
Okay.
Thank you. Would that be?
It's on your agenda. No,
that's right.
For discussion.
It is.
So we'll recommend it for approval tonight. See how long that lasts.
Thank you.
Next item, 3176, Proficient Services Agreement for IMI. Yay.
Correct. Yes. So this was already approved as part of this CIP effort for sewer for 23-24. This is the contract that we're bringing back for further investigative and design services to zero in on a couple locations where we found issues with groundwater and stormwater intrusion into our sewer system. So this would include, these funds would take care of further evaluating the 30-inch clay line that runs right through this portion of our city, actually of the county, going between two sections of our city.
And how deep is that?
I believe that section, that 30-inch clay line, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 feet. It's on the deeper side as far as...
I was going to say, any ditch boxes, 15 feet?
Yeah, so this particular clay line is 30 years old. It's been, it's quite deep in that area.
You'd have stacked on top.
So, yeah, as far as the protection for the headquarters, yeah. So if it came time to actually replace that, if that's the option add on, what we'll look at instead is either pipe bursting, cured-in-place pipe, where you actually drag a sock liner through it and you use UV light to adhere to the sides of the existing pipe.
Okay.
Something like that. We wouldn't actually, as a last resort, it would be an open cut, like, pipe replacement.
Okay.
Yeah. But this contract is taking back.
I think it says like 2,000 feet or something.
Yeah, that would be this right through here, through the poreless thumb, so to speak. So it comes down right off the church lake and comes right along the creek. It's in the county, yeah. And then it comes back into the city right about at this point here and runs down to the station. So that's one, and then the other is up here that we're going to be taking a look at is on 76, right up in this area. And I've seen the video of the 77th street location, and there is actively water streaming into that pipe from some failed sites.
Where is the 76? I thought that was out here.
It is.
I thought that one's out by the station.
No, it's right. Let me look at the address to be sure. 76th Street to 77th Street for East. So that's going to be right. It's the cul-de-sac right here.
Okay.
In that area. And that one is definitely, we've got a large INI issue in that area. We'll need to definitely provide pipe repair there. For this, we're going to do some additional flow monitoring and try to establish exactly where the water is coming from there. The fear is that it could be infiltration coming in. It's right next to Plum Creek. So during the wet time of year, you can imagine there's a lot of water in that area and there's manholes all along that creek. So hopefully it's something easy, like we just need to provide better lids for our manholes and it's just coming through the manholes. But, you know, we've had staff go out there before in the wet season and look at that and they've not seen any large amounts of any sort of inflow that way. So.
Mm-hmm. That's a double-edged sword, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially with summer. Probably enough. Just more. With less water going down there.
The hope is that we're going to be able to eliminate contributing water to our sewer system build that doesn't require being treated. And identifying these areas and then fixing them is what this effort is.
Part of sewer.
That is this contract.
So what's there's stuff in there about lift station 9 and that area too, you know, totally out of scope kind of thing. Worked on reconfiguring that so that it goes to the other neighborhoods.
So this scope itself doesn't focus on the actual realignment of the force main, but what this scope does provide is that if funds budgeted for, currently we're assuming it would be a replacement of that 30-inch clay line, if we find that it can be rehabilitated, then some of those design dollars can be reallocated to looking at other... Right. Yeah, so what we're hoping is that some of the design dollars, if we don't need it to design a replacement solution for this, we can use those funds to further evaluate what's going on along that force main out in that area.
They were trying to redirect that to a different...
Correct. And we do have that project actually budgeted in this biennium for design to rerun that force main out of Mountain Creek and south to tap into Chris Lear's new sewer instead of wrapping way around. So that will be moving forward in 24. So unless there's any questions, I would be asking that this could move forward so we could get this approved.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how this all works and then tied up with like the development cost stuff. Why, you know, so this is maintenance, not development.
Correct. Yeah, this is maintaining existing sewer system that was installed years ago. So this is pure maintenance.
That still smells funny. Mm-hmm. Because you got to maintain everything.
And rebuild sometimes with the technology of those clay, you know, it was the way to go back then. You would never put it anywhere.
It would not be the material. Yeah.
Life of one.
Is that like 2003?
Right.
No, this one goes back to, let's see, this would have been 80s. Seven, something like that.
I'm okay with it. There's just so much to. I was just like, oh my gosh. So we don't have anything to do with. There's not an update to the GMA, the master plan, or anything for sewer, right? Water or sewer. We just updated our water and sewer plan.
The general sewer plan and the water system plan were both recently updated. I think our general sewer plan was approved in 2020. There currently is no statutory requirement for frequency that gets revisited. However, we do have it budgeted for the next biennium, I believe, to look at that plan again.
So will this feed that plan then, these studies?
Certainly, information we obtain from any sort of analysis such as this helps inform the next general sewer plan. Certainly, I mean we're always gathering helpful information with the set with these types of exercises.
I'm good.
Okay,
we'll move this forward with recommendation.
Thank you.
Just a consent item. Okay, consent agenda.
On the 12th.
Yeah, Lisa, thanks. Next item with authorization of a weed whacker.
A really expensive weed whacker. Yeah.
Self driving weed
whacker. So there in the 23-24 budget, part of the approved DNR replacement schedule was to replace four pieces of equipment that had reached the end of their service life. At the time that we were putting the budget together, the quote received for that replacement equipment, which would be a new tractor and a sidearm mower, was $189,000, almost $190,000.
When was that?
That would have been in late summer, fall of 2022, something like that. When we went to re-quote it to move forward with the purchase, the price increase that we were seeing was on the order of $46,515 for a new total of $236,000. Obviously, that's quite a significant increase, and wanted to bring that forward to the committee to receive your approval to be able to move this forward so that we could complete the purchase. This would be accounted for as well in Sherry's budget amendment.
So this would come out of general fund?
This would come out of ERNR funds, which is a special purpose fund.
But the additional, where's the additional money coming
from? Sherry, it sounds like we have the cash in ERNR fund to make up this.
Okay, we just didn't budget it for this.
This full amount because of the time.
And when we get quotes, we don't get guaranteed for so long. I know 2022 is a long
time. Typically 30 days.
Right. We're out of the window. Dang it.
Way out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is it current mower broke?
The current mower is not broke. I believe it still operates. It's just requiring a lot more maintenance. It is deteriorating. They do have issues with it. I need staff to elaborate further on that.
Is it a replacement?
This is a replacement. So the other one would be surplus and then out to pasture.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible that, so why didn't we choose this one that all of a sudden these guys are jacking us up for 25% more in 2 years?
So it's the size of
truck. I'm a little used here, right? It's like 25% more.
This is and cars and stuff like that, right? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You should, you know, some of the costs we're seeing
now. You know, I drive a 98 Ranger.
I know, so
I don't understand that problem.
It's across the board. We're seeing it with patrol vehicles. We're seeing it with our frontline trucks. I mean, it's across the board. It's shocking how much we're seeing right now as far as cost increases are concerned. In this case, this is the size of tractor. It works with the type of mower that we need. Pretty much a direct replacement for the one that we currently have that's, and that, you know, has reached the end of its service life. And so based on that, that's why we requested the quotes.
Who's the ERNR like person now? Who's the running that?
So currently that would be Lance Johnson. He's in an interim position right now as a supervisor over sewer parks and ERNR. No, I'm sorry, it's Keith Proctor. Yeah, we did a switch last year, and ERNR is now under Keith Proctor, who does Street Storm. And
so he's kind of familiar with it.
He is.
Kind of where it came out of, he's like recommending that we...
So this recommendation actually would have been brought forward under Todd previously. Yeah.
Is there a chance the price would go down if we wait till like January? Is that
it could go up.
It could go. Yeah, I can't. I'm
more
fearful.
Up, right?
Yeah. I'm more fearful it'll go up than it'll.
We got 30 days, right?
You're recommending.
I am.
Okay.
So we have the money. It wasn't budgeted, and it's unavoidable.
We'll have the money. The only reason they come here is,
I got that.
But
it's in the ERR fund. It's not coming out of general. Like, oh my gosh.
Well, whatever. Kind of, right? It's not, of course, but and it is because, well, because if it's not, wasn't budgeted in the ERR.
Right.
So, but there's money there. The money's there because it depends on things you're buying or whatever out of it.
Right.
But there's money. Okay, you can spend that money. But, you know, 2 years, they're going to be like, hey, you know, our ERR is kind of skimpy here. We need to, like, refill that.
Oh, God. Remember you bought that mower?
It's important to remember that the ERR fund is funded by the various departments and their payments they make back into that fund.
For vehicle. That's a different thing.
Oh.
Next up is new HVAC for the JMC.
I find that kind of like quaint.
It's endearing. There's a guy up there.
It's endearing almost. I can see the squirrels running around. Again.
So that one's going to the consent agenda also?
That would be.
We always generally tip things on the way in the ring. We put off that.
Right.
And the last item on the agenda apparently is the Alnior Park Playground Installation.
Oh, yeah, this one will be the easy one.
Park.
Right?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think we got something to say on this one.
I'm sure. And I fully expected that. Frankly, I don't expect necessarily a decision coming out of this. But what I did want to do is provide the committee with all the different alternatives we're looking at, the costs involved.
That. That was awesome.
And it makes for quite a bit to chew on. And certainly here to answer any questions. You can see the different alternatives. None of them are cheap. They all have a pretty significant price tag.
Yeah.
But this is where we're at.
So the thing that kind of got me in this whole thing, looking at this, doing all these. What does an ADA playground mean and how much do we want to spend on it?
Right? Sure.
So the first one is kind of a struggle for me, right? Because I look in Sumner at a couple of their playgrounds and all a couple of their playgrounds. And then I look at other playgrounds, like our own, right? There's wood chips. Right?
Some of them, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're different.
So then it's like, what does it mean? And what's the value? Yeah, so anyway, so for me, that was one of the big things I got out of this. And then the other one is this something that we want to consider just donating a playset to the Reed property? Needs a playground, so put it there.
Good. Spent a lot of money on the park probably as a whole. What's Terry thinking?
that was my thought. We have somebody who's willing to move forward, right? So we have an opportunity to have them install it, and probably for much. Hey, you guys install this thing.
It'll be a lot cheaper.
We don't worry about it. We have it installed.
It won't provide any our part.
That'll be
wait. Are you talking about installing it at the new ball field 5, or are you talking?
No, I was talking about the Reed property.
Right.
I don't know how you can do it. I don't know if you can do it at anywhere where we're not seeing somebody proper. That'd be a legal question. Mm-hmm. If we can have somebody else do that for us, because I don't think we
figure out a way to do it. Yeah. In my mind,
I don't know.
If you want to do something different.
My thought was just basically like, hey, we're putting a bunch of fields out there. Why don't we put a little, we've got a park thing to put out there. And we do that for free, essentially, when they put it out there. Yeah. So then you've got fields, you've got some place for the kids to play while their brothers and sisters or whatever are playing.
You got the same
dimension. So, field 5, right? So food,
you do.
So yeah. Food for thought
yeah.
here.
There is a place that not far from field.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But they're not where the parents
are. Skate park and tennis court. Yeah.
So I can tell you from being on site, and several of the comments came when we had the ribbon cutting at the park, is that there are people excited about having a play area at Field 5. And I think it makes a lot of sense, much like you're describing. I mean, it's common sense, of course. You know, mom and dad show up, little Johnny's going to be out there playing, you know, little Stevie gets to go play. play on the equipment, right? We've got a gaping hole there right now. And I really do feel that the best use of the funds we have available would be to get that hole filled and put something there that can be available. None of these look great. We do have 80,000 in the documentation I read from Doug. I believe we've got the 80,000 available or that was included in the budget for this. The engineered wood fiber is certainly an option. It's not one that I really am excited about or favor. I believe that it's, you know, obviously an increase in maintenance over time. We're looking at replacement of the wood fiber about every 5 years. While our vendor does say it is considered ADA accessible, I do have my doubts there. I've never, you know, seen how that works for somebody who does have a disability. But I do believe that the best solution here is to build that playground at Field 5. I would need to talk with Sherry a little bit more, but I believe that there are funds available in the park CIP budget, additional funds that could be made available to complete this effort. I would need to make sure and hammer that down with her, but I believe there would be enough there in conjunction with the 80,000 we already have to make any one of these solutions.
Did we buy the equipment from Game Time?
The equipment was purchased from Game Time, and it was.
Do we have a picture?
It was a grant.
It was a grant.
Yeah, we received Game Time gave us money for the equipment through them. It was like we purchased it through them, but it was through a grant.
Was that kind of at the same time as the RCO grant?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah,
it was.
So we'd have to even see if there's I don't know if we necessarily have to. That site, but we have to. I don't know what the.
We would want to check that just to be sure.
You kind of, you know, design that site around having that feature.
Right.
If you have your older kids that are playing on the field and the parents that have the younger kids.
You know, except they put the playground next to the parking. Right. My wife was like.
Next to the parking?
Yeah.
It's on that little hill there.
But it's like the parents are on the field watching Johnny play and the kids are getting kidnapped off of the.
out of the parking lot because it's right next to the parking lot, right next to the exit. And it's like, she was like, well, why'd they do that? I'm like, because they didn't ask you, did they?
Right, yeah. And I think it's no different than parents that are over on the beach and kids over the cliff.
Right. Well, and so that was kind of the impetus for that, because we were like, we've suffered with that and with the, where's, anyway, all right. So no, I'm not a fan of this right now, unless we want to approve the 80. Right, we could probably, I could find my way to saying yes to the wood chips. I can't find my way.
Yeah, so many of these are like, well, you know, I definitely would like to think about it and see what we can do, because, you know, it's the last piece of that particular project, yeah, kind of thing. But, you know, some of these are like destination kind of things, you know, and I hate to pull on people's heartstrings and stuff like that, but, you know, the kids, and I hear this from the parents, that are like, I was shocked when people are like, well, I go over to the Cedarview Park, you know, and it's like, well, why do you go over there? And it's like, well, Johnny, it's the only thing he wants to be on is that particular, you know, thing that's there. It's not at the park or whatever. And it's like, or the digger that's over there at the Allen Road thing. And it's, oh, yeah, always love that, you know. And the child's going to remember that. They're going to remember that, you know, they on this place at this all kind of like the heartstring kind of BS kind of stuff, you know.
So acknowledging that it sounds like there's needs to be some more conversation. Should we propose to bring table this for now and bring this back to a future CDC a couple weeks from now?
Or a workshop? Is there a reason we can't talk about this workshop with a picture? Do we have a picture of the kind of stuff?
Sure, we can definitely furnish pictures and additional documentation.
You know, the other question I was asking,
you guys can just, however, you know, because it's totally stuck, because it's, yeah, kind of like, well, you know, yeah, I don't even, you know, I'm hearing like, we don't want to do it at all. And it's like, really? Wow, that's really like how we're going to use. And then it's like, well, maybe it costs too much, so you have some variation.
I think that was my deal of it. It's going to cost us X number of dollars. That seems ridiculous to get that thing put in.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we do something, sure, else kind, yeah, of thing versus, oh, let's not do anything there or whatever. Yeah. I think it's just, it's really expensive. And so, but if there's money for it and to do it and finish it out, I'm not necessarily opposed to those two. I could be convinced.
You've been convinced. Yeah. I have some convincing to do.
Same as a chance.
You know, I don't think I'm ever going to be convinced it's worth $200,000.
Well, yeah, that is
a lot of money.
I'm not cheap.
And I don't hide that.
Yeah, I think that
I don't hide it. I'm cheap.
Okay, we'll plan on a presentation workshop.
Okay. Perfect. And the pictures, I can bring it to you.